wheelbarrow full of sticks. Internet radio program begins in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Hey, estoy bien. A wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Monday fun day.
No, no, squish, squish, squish. I'm not having no kids. Squish, squish, squish.
Put it in there. Right?
Put it where?
In my mouth.
Carl, the show cannot go on until you get here with the rainbow brain.
That right? Yeah, these oak tree fingers are going in.
My name's Fat Venus.
Yeah, we got the tank.
No, Wolverine, stop.
Have a nice day.
He's a pretty little kitty. Yeah. Lovely kitty.
You have a type that you go for? No, me neither, man. I don't have those kind of privileges to have my type. I just gotta cast my net and catch what I catch. Sometimes it's fresh young tuna, sometimes it's an old boot. I'm just grateful to the ocean for providing me another day.
You're looking a little rough, man. Had a rough day?
What?
You
rough? Thanks.
I mean, you look like you've had a bad day. Do you want to talk about it?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
Why do you always ask people if they want to talk about shit?
Look at Travis. He looks like he just, like, jogged here.
Yeah, nobody else can see him.
Today was the first day of the back to healthy time, Travis. Away from the fast food every day and away from the processed sugars and not starting to drink as soon as I walked in the door from work and picking up the children.
You're drinking now, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm on my second cocktail. Yeah, of course. But I didn't start it at 5:30 p.m., so...
Everyone, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined by my co-host Napier and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse. We're joined, of course, this week. It is Podcast Month by Mr. Jim Chadman from the Not Safe for Water Coolers podcast.
Yay!
Hi.
Jim.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Is it?
Are words that I probably wouldn't say, but it seems courteous to use them, so...
Phone number to call the show, 309-740-1430, or WFO Dicks on Skype. We do have a very modest chat turnout tonight.
Excellent.
But we do appreciate everyone who showed up. And yeah, thanks. Good night, everybody.
See ya.
So, I mean, what do we have? We have stuff, right? Travis just coming off one of his exciting... Comic-Con weekends. Travis, did you have a good time?
I had a good time. It was fairly low-key this time, though. Nothing insane happened. Yeah, I got my Bubba Hotep poster signed by Bruce Campbell. That was nice, you know. I spent a lot of money on comic books and just kind of took in the sights.
That's what I like to hear. I like to get the tally.
The tally?
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about your experiences. I want the tally. That's what everybody's tuning in for, is to hear...
I can't give you a tally. I can tell you that...
Why can't you give me a tally?
Well, because I don't
know. He does know the denomination, how much, like, one of his blowjobs would cost. Like, right. What the fair market is for that.
Exactly. It's a barter system over there. And, you know, I don't know what you can really put a monetary value on, so...
You know what I saw?
What do you mean? You were
like
trading things? You're out making trades?
No trades. What did you see a picture of me with?
I saw a picture of you and Batman on Facebook. And I was going to comment on it, and I thought better of it, and I said, "Oh, it looks like Batman has cracked the case of the handsome bearded gentleman." But your friend would appreciate that, so I didn't.
I would have appreciated it.
I know.
So, No good stories or anything?
No, like I said, it was really low-key. I mean, nothing crazy happened. I went and I sorted through comic books for a long time, and I got my Bruce Campbell autograph and had a couple of cocktails there, and I ordered Indian food into the hotel for the first time ever, which was fantastic. Besides that, I guess the only other thing is I felt bad at some point because George Wendt from Cheers, Norm, was at this convention.
Yeah.
His booth was empty the entire weekend.
Nobody hung out with Norm?
I don't think I had seen one person walk up to that booth.
What has Norm really done that would put him at a Comic-Con? I mean, Cheers isn't like a thing that...
Somebody had to ask him. He didn't just show up with a fucking booth.
He did some campy sci-fi stuff, too.
I mean, I can acknowledge that George Wendt is the type of, you know, level of celebrity who would be on the Comic-Con circuit, but you have to have something to your credit that would warrant being there, right?
I don't really think you do. I think whoever is willing to show up and sign posters or sign, you know, pictures of themselves, whoever's willing to do that, I think they'll put you on that circuit.
How much is a George Wendt autograph going for?
I think it was either $30 or $40.
$30 or $40 to get.
Right, exactly.
Can you imagine displaying a George Wendt photograph in your home?
The only place you could display that autograph and that 8x10 picture in a frame would be if you had a bar room in your home.
Right, yeah. If you had like an entire wall of celebrities and you added him to it, okay, George Wendt is a welcome addition to like a whole wall of celebrity autographs. But like, it's not like anybody's like, holy shit. I am the biggest George Wendt fan in the entire world, and I need this. I need this for my collection. Nobody's going there to see George Wendt.
Like, I wanted to talk to him because I wanted to tell him how I grew up with him, because I really did. I was a latchkey kid with a single mom, so she worked, like, when I got on the bus in the morning, and then she worked or did whatever she did after school for at least a couple of hours, and every single day at 5 o'clock, Cheers was on. So every single day at 5 o'clock, I watched Cheers for many years. So I grew up with Norm and really enjoyed him, but I didn't want to spend the $35, $40 to go tell him that, so I never did.
Can't you just go say hi to people? You don't have to give them $30 to...
I probably could have, but at the same time, then I felt bad because I'd be thinking that he would be thinking, okay, this is a great story, but also don't you want to pay me for my signature the whole time?
I mean, you don't get tired of hearing stuff like that, do you? That you touched somebody when they were a kid?
Yeah, you probably do. You probably definitely get tired.
I mean, I think that would be meaningful to me, even if I was, you know, on the level of George Wendt from Cheers, to be like, you know, hey, man, you know, when I was a kid, like, you know, your show meant a lot to me. I don't think that would get old. I think that that would always be something that was meaningful to me to hear.
I bet John Wayne Gacy. Never mind.
Sorry. I think Mandy in the chat makes a good point. You could have hung out with him all weekend for like $35, and that would have been like that would have been such great fodder for the show. You'd have all these George Wendt stories. You have some classic behind the scenes. You might have got a George Wendt spot on Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Fucking George Wendt.
Oh God, wouldn't it have been awesome if he went there, gave him his $35, told him his story about, you know, how much he was touched as a little one by his show and was so happy to have all of these memories. And then George goes, yeah, man, thanks for showing up, but you know, hey, make way for the other folks.
And then he steps out of line. Yeah. And there's just this awkward pause where you did have one good story that you shared on Facebook. I thought, you know, maybe you could tell that one for the people who aren't friends with you on Facebook.
Oh, I guess that was the highlight of the whole trip. I mean, I had some fun. I got some great signatures from some comic book artists that I really admired. But one in particular, Mike Grell, I got like signatures on like four or five of his books. But in particular, I got signatures on three Warlord books, which I was not always a big fan of. But when I was like 6 or 7 years old, my comic book habit got started by my dad when he handed me like a two-pocket, like just school folder filled with comic books. My dad wasn't like a collector or anything, but he liked to read them and he liked arts. He was big into like Conan and like that warrior kind of thing. So I had these comic books since I was a kid, and they were always special to me, not because I really enjoyed them, but because they always like stuck out. Like anytime I'd flip through books, And I saw them. It was really special because they came from my dad. You know, I think we talked about before my dad passed when I was like 16. So to get the chance to actually go and tell the creator of this book, you know, who was one of the guys that my dad idolized, to get him to put signatures on those books and to tell him that he meant a lot to me as an artist and as a creator, that was really special. And it was followed by him. You know, I talked to him for quite a while, and, you know, he's an old man, so he likes to tell stories, and they were very interesting. He told me about the creation of the character and how, you know, he sold the rights to it, but he changed it at the last minute so the company wouldn't actually own his original story. And it was a really cool, like, probably 20 minutes of the Saturday. So that was definitely the highlight of the trip.
Well, one, I have two comments for that story. Or three, actually. One, it's a great story, and I'm sure it meant a lot to the guy that you told him that he touched you. Two, would have been great to record it for the podcast. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, how much is a try?
And three, that's not even the story I was talking about. I was talking about the fella that said that he thought you were Paul Walker.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It was such a fleeting moment for the weekend. It was so crazy because, like, the first night of these conventions, I always like to just kind of get a lay of the land. I show up and, you know, I walk around. I have no intention of actually getting anything done or buying anything right away. But I was walking around to Mike Zeck, who is one of the key artists on Captain America for a lot of years. And I was kind of like scoping out his booth just to see what he charged and to see what he had going on there. And out of nowhere, in this crowd of people, it was busy. There was a crowd of people. And this guy came from, like, a big Mexican, like, gangster-looking guy. Like, that makes no sense. But
so he was chasing you down, and you thought, oh, this guy's going to kill me.
It was because I might be remembering it wrong. Maybe he didn't have a neck tattoo, but he seemed like the kind of guy who would.
In your memory of it, he had a neck tattoo. That way, for the story, dude had a neck tattoo.
He did have one of those, you know, button-down black Chico shirts, you know, big dude. And he just came out, and I did. I turned. He, like, tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around. I'm like, what? This guy wants to sell me something out of his booth, obviously, you know? He's like, hey, buddy, anybody ever tell you look like Paul Walker?
And I didn't see it.
And I just I stared at the guy. He's like, no, man, really? I'm like, no, nobody's ever told me that. I said, I'll share that information with my wife, and maybe it'll get me lucky later. It's like,
hey,
no.
Man, did I ever tell you I always wanted to suck Paul Walker's dick?
Oh, excellent. Would you buy me a spotted cow back here?
You ever gotten that, Jim? Anybody ever mistook you for a celebrity?
Whatever it is, it's like heavy, this guy. So whatever, like, I have a pretty average-looking face. So, like, whatever white guy du jour is hit the TV set, like, some young ingenue. Oh, you look like a fat version of this guy. So, like, if I had heard Paul Walker without the fat qualifier before, it would have been a fucking dream.
Yeah, and it was a dream.
Hey, Fat Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. What's going on over there, buddy? Well, Napier gets Kevin Smith a lot.
I could see Kevin Smith for Napier.
A guy one time told me that I look like, what was the guy on Arrested Development? Jason Bateman.
Yeah,
I got Jason that Bateman. Once, and I had one guy at a baseball card show tell me I looked like a J.D. Drew, who played for the Cardinals at the. I don't even know what J.D. Drew looks like, but I don't think I look like anybody. I'm a very unique, strange looking guy.
I got one for you, Mike.
What's that?
Do you remember the Milwaukee's Best commercials with the bitter beer face? You look like a young version of the bitter beer face.
I have some thoughts that I want to get off my chest. And
excellent.
These aren't really linear in any way. It's just kind of, but you know the joke that when everybody's talking about, you know, the porno mags and, you know, hey, you know, I hope that the pages aren't stuck together and blah, blah, blah. And I think it was in that This Is the End movie and all the pages were stuck together. And it's a common joke. You know, hey, who's jizzing on the pages? I mean, who's, like, jacking their dick off and shooting their load on pages of a magazine?
I don't think it's...
I mean, nobody does that, do they?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the fact that you actually shoot it onto the magazine. I think it's that when you go to clean up, your hands are a little dirty, so when you close the magazine, you're touching the magazine, you're putting it down, and that's when said jism is transferring to the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, or I mean, gets on your hands.
If you didn't go into that activity with an exit strategy, then I have to question your whole mental state to begin with.
I agree. Where's your sock? Where's your towels? What's
do you guys
happening?
Jack off into socks? I've never heard of that either.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yep.
It's actually kind of nice when you're ready to finish. You just slip it on there, and all of a sudden you get a whole new sensation.
And then it goes right into the clothes basket.
I usually just like blow my load on my belly, and then I wipe up my belly.
I know when my socks are
savage. That is gross. That is
and then, like I wash my hand, or like I go like jump in the shower and shower off real quick. That's not what normal people do.
What am I going to take a shower three times a day,
Jim, when you started jacking off, like the very first couple times you did you do it right?
Can you do it wrong?
Yes.
Well, I had tummy time for a long time before I could ejaculate.
Oh,
I would rub my penis against my thigh while lying down.
So, like on your belly?
Yeah. So the first, no, I would lay on my belly. So like my penis wasn't even erect. I was just rubbing it against my thigh.
See, I would like rub the head of my dick on the sheets and like tickle the head of my dick until it went off. And I did that for like months and months and months. I get rug burns on my dick.
You know the arcade game Golden Tee?
Funny you should mention it.
So when I started...
I want to know how he's going to get this in there. How's this going
to
work?
I had to put that in there because I was just thinking about the motion and I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. But the game Golden Tee, so it's got that little ball on the arcade and that's how you like putt and that's how you, swing your club. Well, when I swung my club for the first handful of times, I just moved like that ball round and round and round. But instead of using the ball, I used the head of my erect penis. Until
so you just like palmed it?
Palmed it, like just the top, and like not even. I didn't grab it. I used just
like you
the
were
palm of
cleaning
my
a ceramic cooktop.
Yeah, like except I wasn't clutching anything to clean it. It was just like a flat palmed, flat handed, round and round motion.
And that worked.
It worked.
Wow.
How long did it take?
I'll tell you what. After the couple of months when I was just like shaking my dick on my bed sheets. I felt like a real dummy when I figured out the right way to do it.
Good job, Mike.
You can just grasp this thing and tug and tug and tug until it's over with.
This is so much easier. Wait, Napier, how'd you start whacking it?
I would get boners while shitting, and, one thing led to another.
Why would you get boners while shitting? Like, were you having thoughts?
Yeah, I was having thoughts.
Or did, like, the shits make you feel good?
A little bit of both. I had really big poops as a kid. Like, I must have ate too much meat and butter.
But I think ultimately the point is, if you have whatever your cleanup is, you can just apply that to your penis. You don't have to blow it on yourself.
Right. That should be like a last ditch effort.
Yeah. Like if you're like watching tennis some afternoon all alone in your house and for no reason you just start masturbating. Then I can see it. But most of the time, I have an agenda when I'm masturbating.
Yeah,
I know where it's going to end.
It doesn't just happen, usually, does it? I mean, it's not...
Not in my 20s a lot more than it does nowadays.
Right. Like now you have your supplies, you have the place where you're going to. Especially once you have a child, then you really need to plan it out.
Yeah, because she hates watching. Jesus. It's part of the routine, so...
I know when I have to buy new socks because... Whenever I go inside my socks, if my jism goes through the cloth, it's time to get new socks.
That's actually not a bad idea.
That's fantastic. I never thought to use that.
Like, oops, like Winona's been used too much.
So that means, Mike, that you have to be topless every time you masturbate? Are you worried about getting caught? Because, like,
I push up my left sleeve, and I pull my shirt up, to give myself some room.
So this is like a dance.
But you can't ever judge how much shirt pulling up you're going to need to do.
Yeah.
No, I can judge. I don't have any oomph. It just kind of comes up like I put too much soda in a cup.
You know, it never goes over your shoulder like if you're throwing the salt over like as a superstition?
No. I have no oomph in my jism. My jism just comes out the top and just kind of rolls down the side.
So you would be very poor pornography money shot guy.
Yeah, no, I'm not money shot guy. I'm My sperm is so lazy that I have a pretty good idea that like most of it like just turns back halfway. Just says, guys, come on.
I think
are you actively trying not to have a child with your lady friend?
I mean, what do you mean? Do you mean like, do I pull out? Yes, I do, Travis.
Okay, well that
or what do you mean? Do you think like whatever. I'm like taking some kind of medication to make my jizz less active?
Well, either I'm just not sure. There's medication for that. It's not good.
I put my cell phone in my pocket. I have a pretty good idea that's just killing everything. That's what's going on.
You gotta put it in your back pocket and give you ass cancer instead.
I think one day my mom played a prank on me.
Would you rather have ass cancer?
What? Rather than kids? I don't.
Wait, you want kids with ass cancer?
No, but would you rather have ass cancer or ball cancer? Like, if you had to choose one. I think I'd rather have ball cancer than ass cancer.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can just jerk off into some
ass
tubes.
Cancer would probably be horrible.
Ass cancer will kill you.
So will ball cancer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I mean, you can get a ball cut off. You can't get your ass cut off.
I guess you could. Just everything would kind of float out of you like a billy goat.
Well, then you just get some sweet-ass butt implants.
Yeah,
you have to carry one of those weird airplane pillows everywhere you went.
Yeah, it'll be like a camera shutter for your asshole. It'll be like Stargate. Every time you gotta drop one out, you gotta hear the rings are going.
Well, guys, I mean,
was that the only off the top of your head?
I had a couple of thoughts that I wanted to get out there. I have some other theories that I mean, if you got the time, I can tell you about them.
I got nothing but
time. Is one of them chemtrails?
There's a lady at my work. That she works in the corporate office. She's, you know, she's an older gal. She's not even really that attractive. It's not like I, you know, have like sexual thoughts about her or anything, but she does like this. She like walks up and down the hallways like really hurried, like she's like doing speed walking, and she does it for hours and hours and hours and hours, or she does this speed walking up and down the hallways. And like, if you're doing work, you got to get the fuck out of her way, because I mean, she walks with a lot of confidence. She's there to do her speed walking and fuck you and your work. And when I see her like throughout the day, I have these like wild, elaborate. Now, I'm not a rapist. I don't condone rape. I don't like rape.
I'm glad
rape.
You cleared that up.
No,
guys,
guys,
doubts.
Rape is bad. Don't rape anyone. But what I'm saying is, this lady, she just walks up and down the hallway all day, and I start having like these wild Wile E. Coyote rape fantasies about this lady, because like, you know, like I like trapper and raper.
You're gonna strap rocket shoes to your
feet? Yeah. Like I'm gonna,
like full motion.
Close off the hallway with a rock.
You're on the side of a mountain, and then you got your hard cock waiting behind a cactus.
Right, and I never would rape this woman, especially at work, because rape's bad, and definitely not at work. But what I'm saying is, it's funny because like, you know, I guess I watched too many of these cartoons when I was a kid, because like, you know, I think of funny ways to trap her and rape her.
funny
but
ways.
That was Pepe Le Pew. It's not as bad of a rape if it's funny. If they can look back at it and have a little chuckle.
Yeah, when you're done, you can be like, waka waka waka.
Just speak,
you know,
French
that
to
guy's
her. It works
right.
out.
I realize he forced sexual intercourse on me, but
oh, no,
you have to waka waka waka.
Honker nose at the end. Rape isn't funny, but like these scenarios are hilarious.
You are triggering me, by the way. I am going to cut later, but proceed with your show.
Give me a scenario, Michael.
Well, you know, you put on the big green wingsuit and, like, you fly down the hallway and snatch her up.
Oh, it has to be stamped Acme on the side.
Right.
Oh, paint a doorway to look like a hallway so that she runs into it real quick, and then you pick her up.
Yeah.
Blam.
A lot of Wile E. Coyotes involved trying to send the Roadrunner off the side of a cliff. I can't think of any real fun rape scenarios with that one.
Well, I can't.
You drop a box on her, and then you ship that box to Abu Dhabi, and then you get on a plane, you fly to Abu Dhabi, and they got her there.
That's Narmo and Garfield.
Yeah.
Whoops.
My bad.
Jesus Christ. I was having fun with this segment, too, until you fucked it up.
And normal.
But if you saw this chick, like, speed walking up and down all the time, you'd start thinking about it, too, because it's kind of funny.
I think mostly what I would start to think about is fun and exciting ways to trip her to make her fall and break her nose. Because speed walking makes me furious.
You know what, though? I think Mike actually has a more healthy outlook on these kind of things than I would, because I would just be so passive-aggressive with that bitch all the time.
Mike,
I'd,
you
like,
know...
I purposely hear her coming up and, like, you know, straddle, like, both sides left! Of the hall with my
on the left!
Elbows out. I'm like, hey, fucking... Here comes this fucking cunt again. I would hate her. I would hate her fucking gut. So I think a playful rape is better than me damning her to hell.
Right.
Mike, what you should do...
Probably not. You damning her to hell... Probably isn't nearly as severe as trapping her and raping her.
Yeah. Guess that depends on how well you think of yourself.
Right.
And you got to remember, it was a funny rape.
Well, guys, we're going to go to break.
It was a lighthearted rape.
Be sure to catch Jim Chadman's show, Not Safe for Water Coolers, on, you know, iTunes and stuff. I was the guest this week, so, I mean, if you want some more... exciting mic talk like this, you know, not what I mean,
that's just extra incentive to
NSFW Otter Coolers on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and stuff like that. Jim doesn't make it easy for you to find his show, but it's out there.
But his presence has penetrated the internet all over the place.
And guys, at the break, this is exciting. The return of Detective Napier.
Oh, my God.
So we'll be back in a few minutes. We have a guest calling in, I believe. I guess we'll see, huh? yeah, so stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
How can this be happening?
I asked as my doppelganger stood from his seat in the deserted Jack-in-the-Box dining room.
You can't be me. I'm me.
We're both me. I'm you from the future. I've come back for two things. The first is two tacos for an affordable price. The second is to kill you.
Napier, a private dick without decency. Fighting crime. So you'd better watch out, Detective Napier, 300 pounds and irresistible. Ladies, this man is invincible, and the world needs him now. Crime stories.
The old me sat at a booth across from me. He offered me one of his delicious jalapeno poppers, which I graciously accepted.
In the future, where I'm from, they don't even have delicious jalapeno poppers. That was a hard pill to swallow. Fortunately, I could still get two delicious tacos for $1. Then things changed. Jack got greedy. Breakfast stopped being served all day. Chaos ensued. Even then, I said nothing. Finally, they came for my two delicious tacos. That was the day I began my quest to build a time machine. I wanted to go back in time and find me and put me, you, I guess, out of your misery before you, before I knew the pain of taco-pocalypse.
But why, tell me? Now I'll die knowing the world is doomed.
I'll tell you why. When I saw you with that obese woman, it reminded me I used to be great. I used to be unstoppable. I realized that with advanced knowledge, maybe you, I, maybe we can stop it before it even happens. Maybe we can change the future.
Then why did you kill her?
Who?
The chubby lady I was making lovin's with.
Oh, right. Well, at first, I thought she was a Sasquatch. Instinct took over. Ma bad.
Will Detective Napier stop Jack in the Box's evil plan? Will Dan and Mandy's dad be mortified when he hears what we did with his voice? Find out next time on Detective Napier, Crime Stories. To re-listen to this episode and all past episodes of Detective Napier Crime Stories, go to WFODix.com.
What's up, Radio Fubar? It's Stone from the Stone Nuts Morning Show. And let me tell you a little something about what's coming to Radio Fubar. We got balls-to-the-wall action, raunchiness, and radio entertainment that will leave you in shock. It's fucking epic. And you want to know the best reason to listen to our show? We talk about pussy. The Stone and Nuts Saturday Morning Show premieres February 28th exclusively on Radio Fubar.
Welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined by my co-host, Napier. Drunkard STL joins us.
Hey.
Travis and Jim on Skype. Haven't heard from a guest yet, but we'll power on. You know, I'm just going to mention this real quick. I was on Twitter the other day, and a fella followed me, and I followed him back. As a comedian named Johnny Taylor. And so, like, I got the spam DM, like, you know, thanks for following me, check out my comedy album and stuff. And so I'm thinking, probably going to be shitty, right? You get the spam stuff on Twitter, you're thinking it's going to be bad. But actually, I listened to it, it's pretty funny. So could I throw that out there if anybody wants to check that out.
You didn't immediately say damn him to hell for sending you...
No, I'm turning over a new leaf. Travis, trying to be a nice guy. So I listened to the guy's comedy album, made me laugh. It's kind of funny. So,
as you could tell from last week, Mike is trying to change his life around.
Changing my life around. I'm going to be a good guy. And when people interact with me on the Twitter, I'm gonna talk to them.
Now, yeah.
I decided, you know, hey, we don't have enough social media bullshit to keep track of. So I started us an Instagram account.
Oh, yeah.
So follow us on Instagram at WFODix.
Are you going to take sweet pictures and post those?
So, yeah, I was thinking we'd all get the Instagram account.
Password,
and like everybody will do it, right?
I could do that.
That'd be exciting.
I don't have that program or that app on my phone, so if I installed it, yes, I would do that.
So it's going to be a community effort. It's going to be a fun thing.
So
is it
do we
for
have
ding
to
dong
sign
picks?
Our posts?
Nah.
So can I like take selfies of me fucking taking shots and just boom, WWE?
Yeah,
website?
Yeah, do that, drunk. That'll
selfies
be good.
Of you doing shots, selfies of you in the shower.
So, hey, you want to see some shell selfies of drunk taking shots and taking showers? is it at on Instagram? I'm not too hip on the Instagram yet.
Instagram.com / WFODix.
You know, lots of folks have Instagram. Started getting jealous. So now we got Instagram. So,
I'm
guys.
Calling right now.
Are y'all. Do y'all watch The Walking Deads?
Nope.
Oh, don't spoil. I didn't catch last night's.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, I got a whole thing, so I'm sorry. I'm going to spoil it for you. You haven't listened to watch The Walking Dead yet. Sorry, my bad. But
dude.
But I've noticed, fellas, that The Walking Dead, kind of racist.
Kind of?
A little bit racist.
There is only like three black people.
Well, the black people, they come up.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, joining us now is the host of the Race Wars podcast, available on Stitcher, iTunes, and all the other places that people get podcasts. Comedian Kurt Metzger, hey.
Hey, what's up?
I saw on Facebook today that you found out that your mom is a listener now.
Of my mom is what?
Your mom's a listener of your show now.
Oh, yeah, apparently. I'm not thrilled about it.
Did she, like, bring it to you in, like, some funny, cute way? Like, oh, hey, I was listening to your show and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it's annoying. I can't stand if she listens to any of the things I do. I don't want it on my goddamn Facebook or my podcast. No, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody wants that, but I don't want her knowing things.
I think mostly, like, it's the mom comments that bother me on, like, Facebook and social media. It's not even the internet. She doesn't post things. I don't care what she...
I blocked her off mine, but I can't block her off my podcast. So.
You blocked her on your Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that. Can you block your mom on your Facebook?
I guess you can.
I don't want to read that stuff.
So your mom is not privy to your amazing The Real Captain America stories that you've been posting lately?
No, but she wouldn't even know what the hell that is anyway. She doesn't know what stuff is, you know?
So it'd be completely lost.
I think that my mom has listened before to the show, and she's told me, oh, I tried listening live, you know, for a little while, but, you know, I had to turn it off at, you know, such and such point. I was like, oh, wow, you got that far?
Why? Because it was dirty or something?
What?
Why? Because it was dirty or something? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been doing the show for 5 years, and in the last 6 months or
so,
it's
got...
Where are we?
Yeah.
We're in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell them you're from Ferguson.
Right next to all the goings-on.
Yeah, yeah. I could tell you we're pretty close to Ferguson and you know, get my street cred
up
a little
bit. Oh, yeah. I don't know Missouri too well. Are you close to Ferguson?
Yeah, we're close. Close enough.
So did you know anything about that town before that whole thing happened?
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Walmart I go to.
I mean, was that like a shitty part of town? Like, I don't know anything about
it. It's not a great place to go, no. It wasn't a great place to go before. I haven't been there since.
To be honest, as the media threw it all at a proportion, it was happened on one street on a half-mile stretch.
It's really bummed me out because I haven't been able to go to Krispy Kreme since it all happened. I'm afraid. I'm kind of a pussy.
Didn't they burn that Krispy Kreme down?
No,
probably.
Krispy Kreme did not get
burned
down.
Is Krispy Kreme okay?
Hey, Krispy Kreme is okay. Good.
You know, I can hear one of you really well, and then I can barely hear the other guy. I hear somebody pretty clear, and then somebody else sounds like you're underwater right now.
Am I underwater? Am I swimming?
No, you just sound clear, dude. I can't hear the other dude too well.
Well, hopefully it's not me. It's probably
you, drunk.
Yeah, hopefully it is me.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I liked going through Ferguson.
Ice clinking. Whoever just spoke, I can hear you fine.
I used to like going through Ferguson. You never know where you're going to get stopped at.
Yeah, whoever just talked, I can hardly hear you.
Well, it's because we got some guys in Missouri, and then I'm in Wisconsin, actually. So there's a couple of different feeds on
here. Wisconsin, yeah. You're coming in loud and clear, Wisconsin.
Yep, that makes sense.
Where are you at in Wisconsin?
Central Wisconsin, like right smack dab in the middle. Have you played? Madison is south of me by about 2 hours. I was just here, just there this weekend for a comic book convention, like a Wizard
really?
World deal.
Yeah, I played there. I played there, and I got fired.
At Comedy on State?
Yeah.
You got kicked out of there?
Yeah.
What'd you do wrong?
I still don't know to this day. Vaguely, I was told it was offensive, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it was I said.
Shouldn't they give you some kind of explanation? I feel they owe that to you, Kurt.
They gave you the money for the weekend, so that was cool, I guess. But
you just weren't asked back.
What?
You just weren't asked back.
I don't know. They cut me early, and they said, I got a postcard that said, Madison is a smart crowd who doesn't like offensive jokes or something. But I don't even know what I did that was offensive.
Maybe he shit talked their cows.
The aristocrats in Madison. That's super funny because they're known for their highbrow.
There really was an attitude that they had. Like, I didn't realize, like, fucking how. I remember I opened up and I was like, I didn't know there were so many beautiful, like, blonde women here, you know, who've never been told to shut the fuck up one time. And,
they didn't care for that?
Yeah, they didn't care for that. But real, I mean, they really just mouthy, dumb, drunk bitches, like, really empowered drunk chicks.
It's terrible because the, that university there, and, you know, liberal or whatever, it's mega, mega liberal. So everybody does feel really entitled in Madison. I know a lot of people that ended up going to college there. I obviously stayed exactly where I grew up. But that city is like uber liberal and uber entitled. And it's funny because everything is offensive unless it's not, you know?
Well, I thought it was liberal, but I guess not liberal enough. But it's also too white. I mean, they're all white people, so there's nothing worse than white people in a group being extra sensitive. Like, go fuck yourselves. What do you even feel guilty at if you're all white like that? That's why I was running my skin.
It's that guilt by association kind of thing, I think. It's like we're going to be offended for somebody else, mostly.
Yeah, I really go fuck yourself. I really dislike them. Holy shit.
Have you ever played Appleton, the Skyline Comedy Club?
No.
You should get in there. That's a great crowd. Like, I've been there to see like quite a few comedians, and that's a really good room.
Make his triumphant return to Wisconsin.
In Appleton.
Yeah,
long
Madison,
overdue.
Probably.
Yeah, don't go to Madison. Yeah, like I said, Appleton Skyline, it's a really good crowd. It's a good room. If you go there, you'll at least sell two tickets, because I'll bring the wife. You can tell her to shut the fuck up.
Well, you know, I shouldn't even have to tell nobody to shut the fuck up. It's just like people drunk and yelling automatically before you even have done anything. It was just a weird scene, man. I mean, I've been all over, but that city was like the most I've never gelled with a city ever.
Did you show up at, was it like a weird holiday or like a homecoming or something? Did you go to like during Halloween or something? Because they get extra annoying and drunk during those seasons.
I don't think so.
Maybe it was a bachelorette party.
A game or something going on.
That could have been it, too. It's like, we're going to go see the big game, and then we're going to go see a comedy show, and we've been wasted since 6 a.m., and now let's go watch Kurt Metzger tell us to shut up.
Well, you know what? It was the other thing. It wasn't like the people that were fans of me were cool. It was like, you know, I'm not a draw like that, so half the people are like there on a Groupon ticket. You know, so
right.
So those, you know, it's not like if your crowd showed up or something.
Sure, it's the bring 10 friends and you get in for free as long as you buy 3 drinks.
Yeah, I just have never seen such a weird. I mean, I remember there were these 2 Saudi Arabian girls in the front row, and I didn't say anything mean to them, but I did talk to them. I remember looking over and seeing this other girl's mouth like a gape, and she couldn't believe I was just speaking to them. It was really strange. I'm telling you, it was strange.
Like they weren't into the interaction with the stage.
I've never experienced anything like that. But I can only attribute it to just like too many white people together, and just, you know, I mean, just a town of all one kind of people is never good.
Maybe. I completely agree. I can take Madison in about 2-day increments, so I don't blame you for that. I would have liked to have been at that show, though. That sounds like it would have been very entertaining for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had more details on what, but I've never gotten the full story of what I did wrong.
So, Kurt, are you doing a lot of touring now, or are you pretty much just sticking to New York right now?
You know, I go out when I can. I was just in Portland, and then I think I'm going to go back out to Washington this month.
And doing the podcast. Is the podcast kind of increasing your draw a little bit?
I don't know, man. I don't know what makes the draw happen. People come, there's like random cities that a lot of people come out, man. A lot of them just never heard of me, so I don't know, it's a crapshoot. I gotta be on the road more and build it up. I mean, I don't really tour. I'll have road shows, you know.
Right.
But I've never done like a tour, really.
Was that the initial reason that you guys started the podcast, was to maybe get that pull?
No, we just wanted to talk about racial shit, and I'm sure I'm going to do it, really. we were arguing about some with Paula Deen whenever she got in trouble.
Did you realize that you were one of very few stand-up comedians who didn't have a podcast? You felt kind of left out?
Well, I mean, I knew that, but it was me and him doing that show together. It's just like the kind of talk that you could do, like we could just do together, you know?
Right.
And so I had good chemistry with him, so they're like, you know, I mean, you probably should just automatically have one if you're a comic. You know?
It seems pretty automatic nowadays. And truthfully, I knew of you beforehand, but a couple of years ago, you were on Pete Holmes's podcast, and that's what made me a fan of yours, actually. So I think the podcast
that one I get recognized from like a lot. Like he must have a hell of a following. People more than any TV I get, I would say people know me from that podcast.
Yeah, that's where I got you from. Like, and that's where I became a fan and started kind of following you on Facebook and seeing what you were doing. So I guess it works. You know, the podcast thing works.
Yeah, well, it's a good way to bypass the industry, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard about you from Travis recently, and I downloaded a couple episodes of Race Wars. And what I was expecting is, I was kind of expecting like a really racist guy, like two really racist guys arguing every week.
Yeah, well, it's called Race Wars, which
right. It seems like you agree with him more than you don't.
Well, me and him kind of agree. Sometimes we'll differ on things. Like, I really truly believe that. More black people are afraid of ghosts than white people are afraid of ghosts. He vehemently disagrees with me about that.
Well, maybe they're just more vocal about it.
I base that merely on the show Fear Factor. Not Fear Factor. What's the one with Tracy Morgan?
Tracy Morgan was on a show about ghosts?
Oh, Scare Tactics.
So, yeah, I'm just basing this on Scare Tactics. It's from black reaction versus white reaction.
That's totally legitimate, too, because anytime there's a black guy on there getting scared by Scare Tactics, he's, like, running up through a wall just like the fucking Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, he's like an imprint behind. Yeah, so, me and him, it'll be some weird random thing, you know, to disagree on it. I wouldn't even call that a disagreement. That's just, like, some ignorant thing that I think, you know? It's not even, like... I don't know, philosophically, I don't think we probably disagree on too much.
Don't you think a podcast where, like a really racist black guy and a really, really racist white guy just duked it out every week would be entertaining? Or do you think that it would get old quick?
Not as entertaining as you think it would be. It's not, like people that are really racist, it's kind of boring. It's hard to really talk to them.
Yeah.
It's a lot to get around. Really.
That's true.
It's, you know... You have to really dedicate yourself to that to be a racist. Like, it's a lot of work, you know?
You guys have people call in, though, right? I haven't caught every episode, but I see, like, to your Facebook and things that, like, you post there, like, if you take this stance, call the show. We'd love to talk to you. Do you ever get, like, the uber racist guy on there?
Here and there I do. I'm not good at following up on it, but I had, we had one guy that's, he was like kind of harassing me online, and then I just kind of drew him out and got him to call on the show, and then we got his whole story. But it was like pulling teeth for a minute. But people that attack you online, I don't even understand how people get upset about that, because it's such a, like, if we're in real life and you're talking shit to me, I have to think of something on the spot, you know?
Right.
But if you're online, I have all day to come up with a response to you. You know, it's not like...
Just pretend like you didn't see
it. Like, if you just engage me that way, you're going to lose, you know, just because I could just come back to you at my leisure. So,
is that what you call it? You call in your writing staff and your writing buddies and be like, hey, this guy said this to me. Why don't we put together the
I mean, I haven't, but I could do that. I don't understand why... Like I said, people are very terrified of getting talked to bad online, which seems like the weirdest thing to me. But that could be a generation thing.
See, that is good, because when you have a confrontation with somebody in person, and later on you think of the perfect thing you should have said to them, you could just sit and wait all damn day. See,
right,
that's just
exactly.
It. I react too damn quick, Napes. I need to chill out.
Comfy chair.
And wait till it comes to me.
I agree.
Dynamite drop-in, draw.
I was looking at just today. Did you see the Sports Illustrated plus-size model?
Oh, yeah.
The first ever Sports Illustrated.
You know what? God bless Sports Illustrated for going out on a limb.
You know how fat Shannon Elizabeth was in the first American Pie? You know how fat and ugly she was? Like, just completely a beast that you would have no interest in seeing in a swimsuit magazine?
Right.
That is how unattractive and large this woman is.
I can't believe they went out on a limb and got a plus size.
Not plus size? What is she?
You know how Kate Upton was in the swimsuit edition last year? This gal is...
I don't really know it. I don't really know the... Is she not that big of a girl?
She's not big at all. Like, you know Kate Upton,
she's
right?
Tall.
She's very tall and thinner than Kate Upton is.
I actually have a statistic. They were able to get her a swimsuit from off the rack. That's how plus size was. Pretty gross.
So why is it a big deal that she's a plus size model?
Well, Sports Illustrated is making a big deal out of it. They're
probably because
they're
trying to sell magazines.
Well, here's the deal.
They're
she's not even
a
Sports Illustrated
a
model. It's
for,
an ad
for the ladies,
in
for
the magazine.
Like, see, look, we're not only showing you these size zero ladies, we're also showing you this lady who, you know, can't fit into that size zero. She's a size two.
Yeah, she's in the positive.
Well,
she's
a
plus
sometimes
size.
I think about getting that magazine, you know. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and then I'm like, I'm just gonna get some real porn, and also not pay for it. I'll just go online.
Well, yeah, even if you wanted to see the Sports Illustrated pictures, I mean, they're gonna be on Twitter tomorrow. It's like the Lindsay Lohan Playboy issue. I mean, I wanted to see Lindsay Lohan's boobs, but you know what? They were all over Twitter, so I didn't need to go get the Playboy.
I think the only reason you get that magazine is if you subscribe to Sports Illustrated for some reason, and then they just send it to you automatically.
Print media is dead.
Yeah, it really is. I actually got a free subscription to Maxim, and it's been like two, three years since I've had a subscription to Maxim magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like great bathroom reading. There were some funny jokes and like whatever.
Travis,
I got a free subscription to it, and I'm on my like third issue of that magazine, and I don't know what the fuck they did to it, but it is not what I remember.
You can bring your phone into the bathroom too, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. There's something about like leafing through a magazine. Like, I'm just afraid I'm gonna get piss or something on my phone. I'll bring it in there.
I think he's doing it wrong.
I'll shoot and read a magazine, but. Yeah, Maxim doesn't really hold up.
Not anymore. It was great. It used to be like they'd have like the 100 hottest ladies and stuff in there. And now it just seems like they're trying to sell you fucking watches and like BMWs, which I could never afford.
Oh, I never understood that. I never liked any of that shit. Fucking the gadget section. Go fuck yourself.
I don't want the suitcase.
I mean, the internet really makes you don't need any of that bullshit. It really does, like. I don't need a lifestyle magazine and a fucking half-ass porn and, none of that.
Yeah, it levels the playing field, absolutely. Yeah, I don't need a $2,800 pair of running shoes to tell me what mile per hour I was cruising through the mall at today.
They have shoes that tell you how fast you're walking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, is that what you...
Does it display on the sides of your shoes?
Well, no, it syncs with your Fitbit, so it shows on your wrist.
You can upgrade to that model, though.
Yeah.
For a scant $650.
Yeah, it shows like it's like a marquee on the side of your shoes, so it shows the people you're running past how fast you're going. It's like one of those speed traps where it shows you that you're driving too fast.
I fucking hate us.
That's what I imagined. It was like that. Like it.
That's not a thing that we need, guys. I hate us so much. We deserve anything that happens to us.
Who's us? Like America?
People in general.
Yeah.
What were you guys talking about when I called in?
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
I think that The Walking Dead might be racist.
Why?
I wrote down stats. I think that whenever there's a new black character that joins the group, that means the other black character has to die. Because they can't have... No, I wrote this down. Like, T-Dog...
Well,
I'm going to give specific names here.
Michelle's been around for a while, though, hasn't she?
Yeah. But she's a woman. She's the black woman. T-Dog was around until season 3, episode 4. Yeah, he's still around. He's
Glenn
Asian guy. If another Asian guy shows up, then they got to kill him.
Glenn's going to die, by the way. I'm telling you, Glenn's going to die.
Well, he dies in the
When they get to Washington, Glenn's going to die either this season or next season.
But then they got to get a new Asian guy.
Prison.
Say what?
In the comics, Glenn didn't make it past the prison.
Yes, he did. He went.
I know.
Went all
no,
the way.
Yeah, he gets killed did by he? Negan, and Negan's going to be coming up, and maybe
that's right. I thought. Wait, who? Somebody killed themselves.
But Tyrese lasted longer than this in the comics too. Yeah. So it doesn't really.
The governor killed Tyrese in the comics.
It doesn't always follow it, but I'm sure that Glenn death is going to stay the same. But you're right, he's going to follow it all the time.
Guys,
yeah,
can I...
They're going to introduce him just so they can do the Glenn thing so it blows up the fucking media and the internet and outrage, yeah. outrage.
Guys, can I give you my black dude timeline here?
Give us a timeline,
I wrote down notes. This is a big deal. T-Dog was around until season 3, episode 4. Oscar and several other of the guys in the prison showed up 2 episodes before that. And then Oscar lasted the longest. He lasted till episode 8. He was one of the prisoners. Tyrese debuted in season 3, episode 8, the same week that Oscar died.
I thought he was a prisoner, Tyrese.
Tyrese, he showed up at the prison, but he wasn't a prisoner.
In the show he was.
Yeah. Bob showed up.
He showed up with that group.
Yeah, he went through that hole in the wall in the back of the prison.
Yeah, with the other black chick and then those other people who are dead.
All the dead people.
Bob showed up in season 4, episode 1. He lasted until season 5, episode 3. Gabriel, the preacher guy, he debuted in season 5, episode 2. So one episode after the new black guy shows up, Bob dies.
Well, I hope Gabriel dies really soon. He's annoying.
So this Noah fella, the guy they picked up at the hospital, he joined their group last week.
This week,
Tyrese dies.
So in order to get rid of Gabriel, we need to have somebody else, some other black
dude. New black guy. So when the guy
Gabriel's a fucking pussy, dude.
When the guy that Rick met in the first episode, when he catches up to him, because they've been teasing that he's going to catch up.
Oh, yeah, they tease him.
That's when Gabriel dies, guys.
Who is that guy?
Morgan.
He's from season 1, yeah.
Morgan. I
must have missed that part. Season 1. Like, what was his deal with Rick?
He was the guy with the kid originally, that when Rick first got out of the hospital, he went to his house and he holed up with him and his kid, and they were talking about his wife being dead. And then he left.
Oh, I missed that.
And then a couple of seasons later, he was like insane and in that like watchtower. So like he was like going crazy because his kid died.
Well, kid can't come because that'd be too many black guys.
Yeah, yeah, they had to kill him before they joined the group.
Well, the show, I'll tell you what, man, that show is such like a mix of like, it'll be like a cool death or a cool zombie thing. And then the other half of it is just garbage. It's just them fucking whining. And like, what have we become? We're survivors. But at what price? Are we the zombies? All that stupid shit.
Do you think they have to have a balance? God, like they have to have a couple of episodes like that to kind of space it out? Or should it just be chaos every week?
When his stupid fucking wife died, that was one of the best things in the show. When Rick's annoying wife got eaten. That made me just happy as shit. I wish that baby was gone, that albatross. And the fucking
you know how
baby.
Much bullshit that baby is? You know what a baby does all the time? It fucking cries. It attracts walkers. It is such horseshit that they are carting around this fucking
Guys,
baby.
Guys, you can't just kill a baby,
yes,
though.
Yes, they should have followed the comic book, because in the comic book, when they were escaping the prison, when the governor was, like, overtaking the prison, the first time, not the second time, because there was no two attacks. He came with a fucking tank, and he took them out, and they all started running away. And as Carl and Rick were running, and Lori was carrying that baby, she got fucking shotgun blasted through the back. It killed her and that fucking baby.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if the baby dies, the baby dies. But you can't just kill a baby so that you're more stealthy.
No, they should have let the governor kill the baby when they killed Lori.
I'm not saying kill a baby.
You mean the writer should have.
Give me like, knock it out. Here. Take a drink, baby.
Drug your baby.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably, like, your best option in the apocalypse is to drug. Because what else are you going to do? That baby's going to fucking cry all the time.
It's probably Shane's fucking baby anyway.
Exactly. You should have put that baby out to pasture a long time ago.
And this is what evolution has done to us. You can't smell that your genes aren't in that baby, because if Rick could smell his genes in that baby and knew it was Shane's, he'd just kill it anyway.
Oh, my God. Dude, there's so much stupid shit in that show. But well, then it'd be like something really cool, and then I'm like, oh, and then I'm back on board. Then I got three more fucking crap, and them staring, and fucking, it's just like so dull, man.
That's what they
gonna get over that shit.
That's what they do, though. It's like, it seems like the very first episode of a season is really strong and really good, and then it like tapers off into, like you said, that whining about what are they gonna do and what should they do. And then that mid-series finale, it amps up and something awesome happens. And then it comes back from that mid-series finale.
What was the good
finale one,
dude? When they were separated, and then that gang of guys that Daryl hooked up with for a minute.
Yeah.
They're going to fucking fuck Rick's kid. They're going to fuck Carl.
Yep, they're going to fucking rape Carl.
They were gonna
it was a lighthearted rape, so it was all right.
Yeah. And now when Carl's starting to get his hair looking like Tig Notaro. Isn't she great as Carl, Tig?
That was a huge gift for her, that role.
Yeah. Cancer and then this role in Walking Dead is coming around.
Tig Notaro shows up and they have to get rid of Carl because they can't have two people with the same haircut.
Did anyone watch what happened after The Walking Dead, the premiere of Better Call Saul?
Fucking A, I did.
Was that amazing?
Are you allowed to watch if you didn't watch Breaking Bad?
It's tonight. It's right now. You're missing
it. It's happening right now.
In fact, I got to go pretty soon, dude. What's up? I totally forgot. Whoa.
All right.
Hey, if you got to go, Kurt.
I can go soon. I have to go right in a second. I'm checking to make sure we're recording that call, so.
I thought it was great. Yeah, I thought Odenkirk, because I've seen him a lot in a lot of stuff and like Birthday Boys and shit since then, and he recaptured that Saul Goodman character like immediately. Like it's great.
I heard him on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and he was talking about sort of taking the acting craft seriously and how hard it is for a comedian because you sort of get looked down on your peers. But I agree with you completely, Travis. I think he really fucking knocked it out of the park. I mean.
Yep.
You start with that opening montage in black and white of him at the Cinnabon.
Yeah.
And this is his post-Walt White world.
Like, I'm fucking stuck now. Oops.
And it was funny. It was engaging. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was a great character, man. He's a good actor on those things. He's really fucking great on.
He is. Well, he was good. Like, Odenkirk is good. Like, he's just good. Like, he was good in Fargo as that fucking...
Fucking ready ones, yeah.
Dipshit fucking sheriff. I mean, he's... Odenkirk's awesome.
I didn't watch the TV series Fargo, but I was always like a Mr. Show fan, you know?
Yeah, and I love Mr. Show.
The old Ben Stiller show is where I first was aware of him. When he would do that, Ask Manson, which I thought was really great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love the Ben Stiller show.
Well, Race Wars is on iTunes and Stitcher and all that. Kurt, you got anything else coming up that you want to plug?
White Precious, where's that?
That's on Comedy Central Direct right now. I guess they'll rerun it on Comedy Central from time to time. And then Inside the Streamer Season 3 is coming out.
You're a writer on that?
Pretty soon. Yeah, I'm on it a little bit, and I'm a writer. And,
I love that. I love that show so much. It's so funny. Every single episode makes me laugh. Fuck,
is that on Season 3 already?
We filmed this boy band video, which I don't think I can say the title of it yet, but we did this... I wrote this boy band song, and then Kyle Dunnigan's friend like made the music. He did it like so good. I can't believe how good he did it. And then I'm waiting to see how this video does. Like I said, it'll be like kind of a big song.
Can you tease a little bit of the chorus for us?
I'll be allowed to, man. I want to
tell them. It's a secret.
Are you in it? Do you pop up?
Yeah, I'm going to be in this upcoming season as a merman and a weird monster and
you're being typecast.
I got a few scenes in this upcoming season.
You don't ever get cast as, like, the handsome fella?
Say what?
You don't ever get cast as, like, the handsome fella? You're, like, merman and monster?
I think I'm going to be her mail order husband in this sketch.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this, Kurt.
Yeah, no problem, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kurt. Much appreciated.
That was great.
I'm not kidding about the Walking Dead being racist.
No, like now that you say it like that, and now that we're thinking about
it,
like,
it makes a lot of sense.
When he's talking about getting rid of Father Gabriel, and then we're talking about Morgan popping up like that, because Gabriel's gonna go. That guy sucks. He's gonna be gone. So as soon as Morgan pops up, I absolutely could see him.
I mean, like,
off.
I don't see myself as being like, you know, the voice of, like, you know, the black movement, but, like, you know, fictional Black Lives Matter. And it's okay to have more than one black guy on a TV show. You don't need just one.
Hands up, don't bite.
Especially a show that takes place in the South.
I can't believe there's that many black people in the first place.
Guys, if you head on over to the WFODix.com, I was inspired today to write a blog post, and it's about this Kanye West and Beck thing, which I'd like to touch on a little bit, get your guys' thoughts on it.
That miserable fucker.
I'd love to hear.
Last night, did you guys watch the Grammys? Oh my God, Napier's taking his shirt off.
I'm familiar with the situation. I did not watch the Grammys.
Last night, Beck, you know that... That underground artist Beck that not very many people have heard of. You know,
the guy who's been around for 30 years.
As a 20-year 20-year career of you know, highly acclaimed albums. And he won the best album. And when he went up to accept his award, Kanye West came up on the stage with him to protest and to... Napier's doing like a titty dance. He took his shirt off. And why are you? Did you shave your chest?
Yes, my wife dared me to shave my chest.
Why did you shave your chest?
Because she said it looked stupid, and I wouldn't.
You
do
look
it.
Like a. You look like a raw chicken.
Let me tell you exactly how that dare goes down. Wait a minute. Are you daring me to shave my chest? I don't care. Okay, so you say you dare me? Okay, well, I'm doing
Napier.
It.
Napier, we're doing a podcast. We're doing like a audio podcast. There's so all you're doing is bouncing around and making noise.
Yep. He's been doing this for the better part of 20 minutes, by the way.
Unnecessary noise that the microphone is no doubt picking up.
Don't worry,
doing,
it's not for them.
You're
it's not for everybody.
Bouncing dance. I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing.
If I had already whacked off 3 times a day from being unemployed, I would be going at myself pretty furiously right now.
Excellent.
So, he went up to complain that Beyonce is the rightful winner of the album of the year. Because, you know, he's the one that decides these things. And so, I mean, like, I did a little research. The quote from after the Grammys when he was explaining his actions... He said that the Grammys are diminishing art and not respecting the craft and smacking people in their face after they deliver monumental feats of music.
Is that what he was saying Beyonce's album was, a monumental feat of music?
Yeah. Beck needs to respect artistry, and he should have given his award to Beyonce, is what he said.
If I'm 100% honest, I heard more of Beyonce's album than I did of Beck's.
But that it isn't a popularity contest. Yeah, it isn't who sold the most albums.
That's fair.
It's who had the best album according to whoever it is that
was that Beck album good?
The Beck album is great. It's great.
I actually really like Beck, yeah.
Beck consistently puts out good music, and this is among one of his better albums. But I mean, he said that Beck should appreciate Beyonce's artistry. Now, let me just give you a few little stats. Beyonce's album had 24 writers.
Ooh.
But now, keep in mind, Beyonce was one of the 24 writers, but there was 23 other writers. Drunk in Love, the biggest single from that album, had 9 writers. One song had 9 writers. And, I mean, the lyrics of that song...
How many
song,
of the last names ended in Berg?
Quite a few. the song, I think, it's about fucking in the bathtub, isn't it? Isn't that what that song's about? Fucking in a bathtub?
Yeah.
And she says surfboard a lot in it. I mean, it's not a great, it's not a well-written song.
Maybe it was somebody's job to put surfboard in there.
But the beat is just so catchy.
So, on Beck's album, he does the vocals, acoustic guitar, electric guitar, keyboards, pianos, synthesizer, organ, electric bass, tambourine, ukulele, a charango, which I don't even know what the fuck that is, a celeste, do you know what that is? A dulcimer, he plays harmonica, he plays the glockenspiel, and he does all the orchestral arrangements. So Beck did all that. Do you know how many people wrote the lyrics for Beck's album? One. Beck.
So what you're saying is he needs to respect artistry.
Yeah. Beck needs to respect Beyoncé's artistry. Dude played like 12 different instruments on his album. Made a great album. He's just not friends with Kanye West, so fuck him.
I think what you're missing is the point. Artistry means all of those artists that went to make that one four-minute song.
So sure. It was a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
How many people would have had to come up on the stage to accept that award if Beyoncé had won? Do all those writers get to come up there?
I would think so.
I just heard that on a podcast today. Apparently the sound engineers all get like Grammys and stuff. So like a 40 people will get a Grammy.
So really, I mean, it's a smart business move to give it to Beck because you only have to give it to one person because he did most of the stuff himself.
Yeah, but now Beck's taking jobs out of all those people who play glockenspiels. You listed like 12 fucking instruments. Those could have been 12 jobs that Beyoncé can't do that she would have had to employ for.
I just feel like what we need, I mean, like if Kanye West is going to consistently contest the winner of awards, I think that we should just have the Kanye West Awards.
Yeah, he can.
And every year he should have a show like on MTV. I'm sure MTV would give him the time. I mean, there's MTV2 and MTV Hits and MTV Jams. Put it on any of them. You can give them a couple of hours and let Kanye West choose who had the best song, choose who had the best album of the year, and give out awards, the Kanye West Awards. And that way he can't complain about who wins them. He can just give out the awards. He pays for the whole production. He buys the trophies. He hands them out. There's one presenter for all awards. It's Kanye West. He's the host of the Kanye West Awards. And he chooses, and I guess he'd give everything to Beyoncé or himself, right?
Can he present the first award, and the first award, when he presents it, the floor drops out and falls into a giant pit of fiery lava?
No, Gak. It's gotta be Gak from Nickelodeon.
Do you remember when they sold that? It came in like a little, container that looked like whatever Gak should be.
Yeah, my mom beat the shit out of me because I threw it at the wall and it like stained the wall. I remember getting my ass beat over some Gak.
But, I mean, the Grammys are bullshit. All those award things are bullshit. Music is subjective.
Who votes on the Grammys?
I don't. It's a panel of
it's
peers.
It's old white dudes.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Fucking crackers.
But what's funny is that Sam Smith guy, we just talked about it last week, that Sam Smith guy won a whole bunch of awards. Song of the Year went to the song that he just awarded 12% of the writing credits to Tom Petty. That won Song of the Year.
So what you're saying is Tom Petty's still a good artist.
2 years ago, Coldplay won Song of the Year for a song that they determined he stole from Joe Satriani.
So obviously it's good that these people are still working.
Here are the two flaws as I see them. A, who takes the Grammy seriously? And B, who listens to anything Kanye has to say anymore?
I think a lot of people, Jim. A lot of people listens to what he said, and I don't understand why. And everybody just says, "Oh, well, you know, I don't agree with the way he did it." But I mean, you know, the guy's a genius. Is he a genius?
No.
Is he really a genius, guys? He writes songs that people like to dance to, and he's good at that. He's a very talented musician. But is he a genius?
No.
No.
I mean, he took a sample from a Ray Charles song and made it a hit. I mean, like, who couldn't do that?
Musical geniuses, this is the list, okay? And the number one spot is Prince. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mozart can fuck himself.
Prince
is amazing.
I was pretty impressed with that Beethoven fella. He couldn't even hear, and he made good music, right? I mean, that's right. That's pretty neat.
That was a pretty unsophisticated.
I mean, fuck Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, sure, he's blind. That's rough. But dude can hear what he's making.
He feels it.
That Beethoven fella, he's amazing.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, fuck Beethoven.
Listen, Beethoven. You're right, Beethoven, Tim. Beethoven. I'm going to let you finish. But you should give that award to Beyonce. You know?
I tuned in for a minute of the Grammys, and it was Kanye's performance. I think he had multiple performances, but he just stood over a spotlight.
Yeah.
And it was auto-tuned through the whole thing?
Right. The guy goes up there and sings poorly, and they auto-tune him. And it's a boring song. It's a boring performance. And people just eat it up. Is it
Did he win Grammys?
Oh, yeah.
Kanye West has won, 21 Grammys.
No, but did he win Grammys on that night?
No, his album would have been eligible last year.
Okay.
Yeah, Beyonce has 17 Grammys. Jay-Z has 19. Kanye West has 21 Grammys.
And Kim K has one best-selling sex tape.
Right.
Starring Ray J.
His penis was pretty healthy.
Which, by the way, that was a meme going around, the thing with Kim Kardashian and her sex tape. And people were talking about how that's sexist, and it's unfair because Kim Kardashian doesn't even have a music career, and so it's not fair to compare her. Kim Kardashian tried to have a music career, and nobody wanted her awful, awful music.
All of those no-talent bitches that are on TV for no apparent reason have music fucking
right.
careers.
Kim Kardashian put out music, and nobody would buy it because it sucks.
They manufacture that thing. There's that girl from that Nickelodeon show that, what was that? That iCarly. And then she had that song had that show called Sam and Cat. It was that Jeanette McCurdy, that blonde. They, Nickelodeon said, hey, guess what? You're going to be a country star now. So now you are going to record an album and you are going to tour around and go to malls and sing one song per mall. And we're going to sell a bunch of music. And she said it was the most miserable experience of her life. And I'm sure that's the thing with all of these quote-unquote stars, is that if they have a little bit of fame and they're a hot chick, we can manufacture music around you. We can auto-tune it. We can put beats behind it. We can put it in the studio, and it will be a song, and it will probably be catchy, and it'll sell some fucking singles. But do you have a music career? I don't know.
And I will be the first to admit that Kanye West isn't that. Kanye West is a talented musician. But I don't think that Kanye West is as good or as smart as Kanye West thinks he is. I think Kanye West is goofing on us. I think West is laughing, and he thinks the whole thing is funny. I think he's very aware of what's going on, and he's doing it on purpose.
I
think he's genuine.
Yeah, I used to think that same thing, Mike. I thought he's probably one of those guys that has a bunch of money and keeps making money and influences people and thinks it's just so hilarious that people are blowing up everything he says all over the internet. But it's gone so far now that I think he legitimately thinks he is one of the best things that's ever graced this fucking earth.
Do you think he's taking his own product? Buying into himself a little harder than he should?
Like the Kanye West dildos?
He's hook, line, sinker. That would be amazing if he made his own dildo mold and fucked himself in the ass with it. That would be the perfect Eros Burrows of him.
Yeah, that's
Kanye West.
The penultimate Kanye West is he molds his own dick and fucks himself because he could not get any better than him fucking himself.
Oh, can it be shaped like a fish?
I think he has anointed himself the arbiter of good taste, and I don't think that many people are biting on it anymore. This is honestly what I think. I would rather listen to the Beck album than the Beyonce album, and quite frankly, I didn't hear either one of them. So, I'm not the right person to ask, I guess.
Well, see you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
it's Napier. Listen live every Monday at 9, 8 central on RadioFubar.com. Download past episodes at WFODix.com, just in case you didn't get enough of this. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at symbol WFODix. Follow Drunk at symbol DrunkardSTL or Travis at ProduceTravis. Get on Facebook.com and then type in WFODix. Email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. We're not going to listen to any of your suggestions, but we will accept praise and or titty pics. And if you're a fan of Mike, just send him feet. I mean, why do you give a shit? It's feet pics.
I like feet.
Yeah, he likes feet. Send him some feet pics. You don't give a shit. Send him some fucking feet pics. Blam!